while the children are dismissing, we're going to ask the adults to stand for the reading of the word. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Andre. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand for the reading of the word, which will be coming from Jeremiah chapter 6. Amen. This is a follow-up, on our spiritual living. Amen. We need to know what God requires of us. Amen. Because the church collectively can be no better than the church individually. Because it's the sum of the parts that make up the whole. Amen. The sum of the parts make up the whole. Amen. And the Bible said when one suffers, we all suffer. And we can only be broken at our weakest point. Amen. That's why it's so important that we pray one for another, that we lift one another up in prayer. Amen. And we want to deal with spiritual living. The reason we're dealing with spiritual living and godly living is because it does us no good if we come to church and we leave out the doors and our lives are not aligned with God's word and will and we're pleasing Him. The most important thing tonight is that we are pleasing to God. Amen. As Jesus prayed when He was on the cross, He said, not my will, but thy will be done. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 10. We're going to start off with verse 10. Amen. And let's pay a particular attention to what we're reading. Jeremiah, in the word of God, he says, thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was the joy and the rejoicing of my soul. What the church and so many individuals don't realize is that the devil is taking our minds and he's painting our minds. There are things that are not there, but he's creating situations. Amen. It's not really there, but it's just in your mind. Amen. And what he will do is he will take the smallest thing and he will magnify it to the point that you almost lose hope in God. You know, you feel as though the problem is in everybody else. When it's nothing, as Bishop said, it's nothing more than a... God told the children of Israel, he said, listen, I knew what you were going through. He said, I allowed you to hunger. I allowed you to suffer. He said, I allowed you to go through the tests to see what was in. God already knew. Our tests, our trials, our tribulation, our distresses are for us to see what God sees. Because God wants us to make it to heaven. Do you know how unrighteous God would be to know that we're going in the wrong direction and not take the time individually to show us the error of our ways to correct us and we wind up lost because our lives are not in line with God's word and his will. Amen. We have to be in line with God's word and will. Let's start in verse 10. He says, to whom shall I speak and give warning? To whom shall I what? Speak and give warning that they may hear. The most important thing is we must hear. Jesus said throughout the gospel, let him hear. In the book of Revelation, when he appeared to John, he said, let them hear. So it's important not just we just see, but we must hear. Go ahead in our inner man. Behold, their ear is uncircumcised. They cannot. In other words, they hear the word of God, but they don't even have a mind to receive it. They can't hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a what? God forbid. How can God's word be a reproach unto us? How can God's word become a reproach? Amen. They have no delight in God's word. In other words, the preeminence, what we have deemed important is not God's word, is everything else. Therefore, God says, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. He says, I can't just keep holding it in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad and upon the assembly of young men together, for Even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the age with him that is full of days, and their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. Why? Because they will not hearken. They will not hear what? The word of God. For from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to just what they can get. Just greed. In other words, their main concern is themselves. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, everyone dealeth, there's no integrity. There's no truthfulness. There's no sincerity. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. And you know, one of the signs of his last days in the book of Thessalonians, it says, when you hear them say peace and then beware. Amen. As it was of old, so it is today. Were they ashamed when they committed abominations? He asked a question. Were they ashamed? They willingly went against God and they did the thing. Abomination is the thing that God hates and detests. He said, were they ashamed? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Verse 16 said, thus says the Lord. And this is not what we are trying to do with our spiritual living. He says, stand ye in the ways. Remember last week in Isaiah, we went over, there should be a way shall be there. The ways, stand ye in the ways. Last week the way was seeing as for the what? Old path. Way is the what? Amen. There are a lot of ways. But the good way will be considered what is righteous, what is godly, and what is acceptable before God. The good way. And walk therein, and ye shall find. But what did they say? They said, we will not walk therein. And the reason we're having our classes on spiritual living is not about us. It's not about me. It's not about what I want. It's not about what I say. It's not about what I think. But it's all about
Jesus.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, tonight we thank you for the reading of thy word. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you tonight to give us a heart of flesh and not a heart of stone. Lord, give us a heart that's pliable and soft that you can reach. Lord, break down stony hearts. Break down stubborn wills. Lord, give us a mind to surrender our wills into thy hand. Lord, give us a mind on this evening to say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Lord, indeed, we acknowledge at this time that without you we can't do nothing. Lord, tonight, give us a way to stand in the way and see and ask for the old path. And Lord, above all, give us a mind to walk therein according to thy righteousness and according to thy obedience. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name? Amen. As they prepare to get the take 6, we're going to finish up, or when this will be part 2 on spiritual living. Amen. And while they're getting it, we're going to have, can we have some participation from you all? Amen. Those of you that will be future evangelists, future soul winners, future singers, amen. This is your platform to start. So we're going to have some volunteers just for a few minutes. Last week we went over holiness. And we want to, what did you get? And we don't have to preach a message. We have that time. But just take a few minutes to tell us what you got out of last week. Then if you want to preach, submit your name to a minister gift for young people. Amen. Okay, Lexi's smiling. She wasn't real. Okay, she's not smiling. Okay. Amen. But do we have any volunteers just for a couple of minutes? Tell us what you got out of last week. Amen. Because if you didn't get anything out of last week, then we'll go back to the beginning. Amen. No use in going forward till we pass where we were. Any volunteers? Amen. That's the transformation. It's an inward and what kind of change? It changes on the inside and the outside. It's not a one-part change. It's a two-part change, inside and outside. Amen. Because no matter how much you purpose, eventually the real you will always manifest itself. And there are times when we purpose to do one thing, and that Paul said, the good that I would do, he said, I didn't do it. He said, I find a fight within my members, and it's worn against the members of my mind. So Paul said, thank God for Jesus. Why? Because only Jesus can straighten out this crooked, wretched heart of mine. Only Jesus can correct my mind. So he said, thank God for Jesus, through which we have the victory. All right, y'all trying to mess me up? All right, it says, by the renewing, and this is so important, we're not conformed to the what? Most of us have spent our life, who grew up in church in here? Anybody grew up in church? Saved the whole time you were in church. Thank you. No. We grew up in church. But what did our greatest impressions came from what? The world. If we grew up in church and our greatest impression came from God and the holy standards that we learned, we would have never backslid or did anything contrary to God. So as we were walking with God, there were impressions placed on us from the world. So Paul said, I don't want you no longer to be conformed to this world, but you have to be reformed. Well, how are you reformed or transformed? You're transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. Renewing is the adjustment of moral and spiritual vision and think to that of the mind of God. Our minds to be renewed is that of the mind of God. And one of the best examples of renewing is, you ever have to see a house that's been completely gutted and renovated? When they gut and renovate a house, you see it 1 week one way, and when you see it, when it's completed, it looks nothing like it did before. Well, when God renew our mind, it's a complete renovation. It's a complete change. And it's not based on the standards of the world any longer, but it's based on the standards of holiness and the power of God. The renovation is based on the standards of holiness and the power of God with the mind of God. It says, of your mind, that you may prove what is that good. Good is being morally honorable, pleasing to God, and therefore beneficial to God. Notice he, normally the emphasis is on what we can do for ourselves. The centerpiece of everything is who? God. Everything is about God. Good and acceptable, pleasing to God, and perfect, which is spiritual maturity or completeness. It's like we used to sing the song, those old things I used to do, those places I used to go, I don't. The way I used to talk, I don't. Because why? Jesus says, this is what Jesus says in the Beatitudes. He said, be ye therefore perfect, as I am perfect. That was his command. Be ye therefore perfect. Well, we know that we won't reach perfection until we get to heaven. We're going to always have faults and failure. But he said, I want you to be as complete spiritually in me as you can. And he says, concerning this completeness, he said, let your eyes be single. Amen. When your eyes are not single, then you delve in the world and you delve in the church. And there is no light in the body, because Jesus is the light of the world. So when your eyes are no longer single, your focus is no longer on God, but the focus is on the world. But God does not want our focus to be on the world standards or the world ways. He wants our focus to be on Christ. Therefore, our eyes must be single. Amen. As long as the Bible says, as long as the eye is single, the body is full of what? Light. As long as your eye is single, it's all about God and God only, then your body is full of light. But when you begin to look at the world and blend it with the church, then your body is no longer single. And it's no longer about Christ. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 says, love, not the world. Well, what was John telling them? Love is meaning I'm willing to abandon or do without to prefer above. Then he's telling them, in order for you to be complete in God, you must be willing to abandon or do without certain things that are in the world. You must be willing. Amen. He that comes to God must come willing. You can't do it of your own accord. You must do it willingly. Next page. Pause for a minute, George. Amen. So it says love. And you know, this is what is so important. The Bible said, where your treasure is, then where your what? That's love. Paul, in writing to the Colossians, he says, set your affections on things what? Well, he's talking about your mind, because when your mind is on things above, then you're looking unto the things that are of God. When your affection and your mind are on things above, then your concern will be on the things of this earth. And Jesus says plainly, a man's life consists not in the... But you know what our focus, most of the time, we hear it in church, but when we leave, we're always trying to get. Well, the most important thing we need to get is a greater love and understanding of the Word of God. So he says, love not the world. Well, what is the world? The world is the appearance, character, lifestyle, in alienation from and opposition to who? That's what the world represents. It's a lifestyle, character, appearance, and alienation from and in opposition to God. That's what the world is. And God is also holiness. Amen. That's all. You can't be holy outside of God. It's hard to be holy without the Holy Ghost. Amen. So you got to be holy. It says, so you're not supposed to love not the world, neither the things that are what? In the world. Listen, we're of the world, but we're in the world, but we're not of the world. Neither the things that are in the world. It says plainly, if any man love the world, if your affections, if your preferences are the things on this earth, if any man love the world, then what? Come on, I know that's big enough. I took away all the ambiguity and all the stuff in the background. Right? It couldn't help you see it. It says, who can't see that? All right, so let's all participate. It says, if any man love the world, then the what?
Lust of the world.
It's not in it. Oh. Amen. When we focus too much on the world, then God's love is not in us. Amen. Love of the Father is not in it. And then, for all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh. Well, what is the lust of the flesh? It's a sensual or animal nature. This is what he said. The animal natures are, animals are driven by their passions, instinct. They don't have the ability to make a decision. Animals are driven by their instincts. That's why sometimes when you tame a wild animal, and when the right natural instinct takes place, their natural reaction will come out and they will attack their owners. Why? Because they're driven by their natural instincts, their natural passions, their nature. Amen. So he said, the reason that we don't want to do this, lust of the flesh, is because it is unbridled and what? Unrestrained passions. Lust of the flesh is unbridled and not restrained. Paul said, I must keep under my body. I have to keep my body bridled and restrained, lest after I get everybody else seen, I become a castaway. Yeah, what good does it do if we go out and save the world and we wind up lost? So he says, the lust of the flesh is unbridled or unrestrained passions of man, which incites to sin. Sin is in direct opposition to who? God. And the lust of the eyes, this is all that's in the world. First, lust of the what? Flesh, that animal nature that won't allow you to use your sound mind. And then it's the lust of the eyes, which is the principal instrument of evil desires. Lust of the eyes is the what? The principal instrument of evil desire, the principal avenue of temptation. If you don't see it, you won't want it. Amen. That's why the eye must be single. Well, what does it mean single? I'm married to my wife, so my eye is on my wife. My wife is married to me, so her eye must be on me. The minute my eyes start wandering, it is no longer single. And when it is no longer single, then this principal thing that is used to draw away my attention towards sin. It's a principal avenue. Amen. I don't drink alcohol because God forbids us to drink alcohol. A lot of people say they don't believe it's not true. Well, read Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. It says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is reason. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. And then it gives a whole illustration for drunkenness in Proverbs chapter 23. Did you know that? Proverbs chapter 23 gives a whole illustration of drunkenness. Eyes are red, and you keep going back to the wine. God never intends for his people to be drunkards. So if my eye is on something that God forbids, it's going to draw me into sin. So the best way to not be drawn into a sinful situation is I must keep my eyes on
Jesus.
Amen. Talk about, do anything. Amen. But my eye is on Jesus. That's my focus. So the lust of the eyes is the principal instrument of evil desires, the principal avenue of temptation. Now, my eyes must stay on my wife, and my wife's eyes must stay on me. You know, before I got saved, you know, when we were younger, years ago, they don't do it as much now, but when we were younger, we were vain just like anybody else. And because we were athletes, athletes like to show their bodies off. Yeah, one time I used to be an athlete. Can't tell it now. But what we used to do is we would wear our shirts cut up to our chest, right? So all of our six packs would show. Our sleeves were cut off so everything could show. Why? Because we were displaying ourselves. And when we walked, everybody would always watch the athletes. Well, then we were putting ourselves on display. You know, like they laugh about the shorts. Our shorts used to be short shorts. Why? Because we wanted them to see every ruffle in our calf muscle and thigh muscle. Well, that was in the world. In the church, if I walk outside like that now, and people look at me, remember that I is the principal avenue of evil. So if I go out and I want to show things that shouldn't be shown, and I'm talking about being a Christian, people can't see the Jesus in me for seeing what I'm showing. They can't see the Jesus in me because they can't look past the display. Women, you are to honor God. If you go out, and because the eye is the chief principle that the devil uses for the avenue of sin, if you show too much, the Jesus in you for what you're displaying. That's not God's way. That is the world. All that is in the world is the lust of the what? Flesh. Then it's the lust of the what? Eyes. So it's already in the world, so we don't support the world by playing into what the world's looking for. So our life, our dress, our way we carry ourselves should be to glorify God. You can't glorify God because you're talking Jesus and everybody around you can't see the Jesus for what you're showing. So you must learn to dress in moderation. Men and women. I won't fault any preacher. But some of those preachers when they're on church, on TV, you can't hear what they're saying for seeing all the body suits and what's all that stuff they wear. Like, are you supposed to be preaching? Are you giving one of those physique shows? And then they'll say, well, what's wrong with y'all? Well, we can't hear you for seeing you. Amen. Because when you see anybody in this position, you better see Christ. When you see that flesh of that individual, that's not God. That is conforming to the world. And that is not singleness of mind, because they're not hearing the God in you for seeing everything else that you're displaying. That is not God's way. So the lust of the eyes and the what? Pride of life. Well, what is the pride of life? Disrespect of godly standards. Empty assurance of trusting in one's own power and resources, and shamefully despises and violates trusting in resources, trusting in yourself, violating God's law or standards of holiness. That is the pride of life. It says, what kind of assurance is it? Empty. That assurance is not going to get you anywhere. It's an empty assurance. What is it? It's the pride of life. Well, what do you trust in? What you have done, what you've accomplished, and you forgot about Christ. And if you want to read, if we go to St. Luke chapter 12, God gives the greatest illustration of the man who had a farm and it brought forth plentifully. And he said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tear down my barns and build greater. He said, I'm going to say to my soul, set back and be at ease. Look what the pride of life has done for me. And Jesus said, thou fool, this night shall your soul be what? Required of thee. And whose shall those goods be that you laid up? And he said, this is an example. He said, so is everyone that is rich toward riches, but not rich toward God. Don't allow the pride of life to hinder your spiritual walk. It's not, he said, this kind of attitude is not of who? It's not of who? Even though you don't see it, it's there. Amen. It's not of the Father. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the eye. Pride of life is not from God. But it is of what? The world. And what is the world? It says it plainly. Parents, character, our lifestyle, and what? Hold on. You know what an alien is? Foreign. Strange. Is not recognizable. Foreign, strange, and what? Not recognizable. Amen. You know, sometimes we think people are aliens, but they're not. They look foreign and look strange. Well, an alien is something that's not recognizable. It says alienation from and in opposition to who? An alienated individual from God. When you look at them, you don't see Christ. They look foreign. They look strange. They are not a representation of holiness. That is part of the world. That has no place in the church. Amen. Well, that's the only way way that we know how to live according to God's standards of holiness, we read earlier, is to stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the what? Old path. The new salvation. The new standards of holiness are based on the world and not God. Well, how can you say that? Because the Laodicean in church, John in writing, you don't have it. Let me go to Revelation chapter 3 quickly. How do we know this? Revelation chapter 3 gives us the greatest illustration of the new church, the new standards, the new things that are fashioned after the world and not after who? God. All right, Revelation chapter 3. Sorry, I should have put this in there, but I didn't, but I will now. Because our greatest desire is that we want to be pleasing to who? Pleasing to God. It does me no good for me to live according to my own standards of holiness. But my greatest desire is I want to be like Jesus. You know, the scripture said, I won't be sanctified till I awaken as what? Likeness. Well, in order for me to be in his likeness in the hereafter, I got to try to be somewhat like him right now. I have to try to be like him right now. All right, Revelation chapter 3, verse 17. It says, because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods. That's a standard of what? The world. That's not God. I am rich and increased with good and have need of, just like the rich man, I have much good laid up for many years, have need of nothing, but knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, because your life has been governed by the world. So he said, now you can get away from that. You can have your mind renewed and your mind transformed. Well, how am I going to do with that? I counsel thee to buy of me faith tried in the fire. Gold references are what? Faith. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. Amen. I'm on verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire that thou mayest be rich. Well, what are you going to be rich in? Rich in faith towards God. Not the standards of the world, not alienation, not in contrary, not in opposition to God. But now I'm rich in faith towards God, that thou mayest be rich and thou mayest be clothed. Well, how can you not be clothed if you're rich and you have need of nothing? Clothed in what? Righteousness. Amen. The world's standard is, I got to have clothes. I got to have this. He said, but you're rich, you're naked, you're miserable, you're poor. He said, now the world is rich and good. God said, that's not my way. I want you to be rich in faith. Then the world said, I want to be all these nice clothes. God said, I want you to be clothed with. Because God's ways is diametrically opposed to the world's standards. It's opposed. It's not the same. They're different. So that thou may be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. Amen. In the letter of Martin, he said, be zealous therefore and repent. Then those are two opposing differences. The world's rich, clothed, and then God, riches and clothed. They're always the opposite. They're never the same. Amen. Let's go to the next page. All right. And the world, once again, is a parent's character, lifestyle, and alienation. When you look at somebody that's supposed to be in church and you say, whoa, that's not God. Alienation means they don't have the representation of holiness. So when you see them, they look like an alienated Christian. There's no Christ. There's no God. There's no holiness. They are alienated from and in opposition to God. It says the world loves what? Passes away. And the what? Lust. The desires, cravings, longings, desire for what is forbidden are opposition to God and holiness. Lust is what? Desires, cravings, longings, desire for what is what? It's not in God's word. It has no place. That's what lust is. Anytime you're desiring something that is forbidden and in opposition to God, that is lust. Our opposition to God and holiness, but he that doeth the will of God will what? Lord, that's my desire. Abide forever by doing what? God's will. James says pure religion. Well, what is pure religion? It is holiness. James says pure religion is holiness, not mixing the standards of and what? Worldliness. That is pure religion. Pure religion will not mix godliness and worldliness. Not deceptive. In other words, I'm saved in church, but when I get outside of the church, what do I look like, talk like, and sound like? That is deceptive. It means I am sincere, I'm genuine, and there's no sin in my life. I am blameless. That is what my religion? Pure worship. Amen. That is not deceptive. Amen. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. The scripture says, who can know it? So we don't deal in deception, or we don't deal in falsities, but we are sincere, we are genuine. You know, when something is genuine, you have the real and then you have the genuine. Like they have these Michelangelo pictures. They have some that are genuine and then they have some that are deceptive. Well, the real Michelangelo has details that the fake Michelangelo don't have. Well, that's what God is saying about our life of holiness. When we get down to the, listen, we're not looking at the big picture, because the big picture, you can fool people. But when you get down to the fine details, when you get down to the part, well, when I look at that, I know that's Christ. When I look at that, I know that's holiness. When I do this, I know that's godliness. But when I look at this other thing, it's alien. It's an alien. It's not godly. It is strange. It is deceptive, and it is not sincere. And undefiled. What is undefiled? Means what? Pure, free from what? Spiritual adultery. In other words, you're serving more than the true God. Spiritual adultery is you place other things before God. Not dealing with natural adultery, but spiritual adultery. We are the one of Christ. We are the what? We are the what? Bride. All right, we must be going in the wrong direction. This is getting to be a quiet church. We are the bride of Christ. If Paulette is my bride, and all of a sudden she's with another man, she's committing what? Well, that's not a good example, I guess, but what I'm trying to show you is spiritual adultery is this. We are God's wife. We're his bride. Anytime we're with another God, or a representation of another God, we have committed spiritual adultery. Amen. What is adultery? Adultery is when you're with another spouse other than yours. That is adultery. Well, spiritual adultery is when you're with another God other than the true God. Spiritual adultery are contaminated by sin or worldliness will bring you down. Worldliness will lead you to sin because all that is in the world is the what? Lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And this is not of the Father, but it's what? Of the world. Before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless widows in their affliction, to keep himself being as of the begotten by God. Who's the only, who was the first begotten of the Father? Jesus. So we're supposed to keep ourselves as the begotten of God, which means we are to be like Christ. We're to be begotten like Christ, so that means we must be sanctified or set apart. We just don't look like, we don't talk like, and we don't represent the world. Unspotted means appearance. That's all of you. Appearance, when you are spotted, that means they, when you spot somebody, you never see somebody, then what? You spot them. When it says, concerning the world, we're supposed to be what? Unspotted. So if we're unspotted, appearance and character that is not corrupted or stained. What stains us? Sin. That's what stains us. From the world, and James 4, we'll finish here. It says, ye adulterers. Adulterers are the breach of their relationship with God through their idolatry, or delving into things sacrificed to devils. That is adultery. Breach of their relationship with God. You're not true. You're not real. When nobody's watching you, you're nothing but a hypocrite. Breach of relationship with God through their what? Idolatry. An idol is what? Anything we put before. You can be an idol. I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't do it. But it's me, and I'm going to do what I want to do. Wrong. It should be, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus said, I do always those things that please my Father. That's what God looks for us in holiness. I do always those things that please my Father. And adulteresses. Well, what's an adulteress? Believers who cultivate what? Hey, maybe we should pass the mics around, at least the sound. Amen. Can somebody read that for me? What is a believer? An adulteress is what? You want to read, Joe? You got a mic.
Who cultivate friendship with the world.
Believers who cultivate what?
Friendship with the world.
With the world, that's a what? Adulteress. Friendship with the world, go ahead.
Thus breaking their spiritual union with Christ.
Breaking a spiritual union. When you get married, you are in what? Union. You are together. You are bound. You are united. Well, it says when you're an adulteress, you break that spiritual union with Christ. Amen. Go ahead.
Having been spiritually united to him as wife to husband.
Spiritually united as what?
Wife
to husband. Our relationship to God is as our relationship, wife to husband. You know, you ever hear like the wife would tell the husband, you just don't give me any time. Why don't you spend more time with me? Why don't you do this? Amen. You know, we don't hear that in our church, but in those other churches, it happens a lot. You know what I'm saying? Woo! That's a hot subject there. Yeah, we leave it alone, but that's why he said, wife, you don't spend enough time with me. God says, you know, why don't you spend more time with me? You spend time with the ones you love. So you spend time together like a what? Husband and wife. That's what the scripture said. Time together like a husband and wife. It says, know ye not that the friendship, what is friendship? A different person, you want to read it? Somebody else want to read it? Wake y'all up in here.
The natural, the natural.
Is what?
Interweaving of two standards.
Hold on. Interweaving how many standards? Well, there's only two standards. There's God's standard and the other standard is what? So when you interweave them, you blend them so that you can't tell which is which. Interweaving, that friendship is the interweaving of two standards. interweaving of two standards. Or like you mentioned, whoever make cakes, anybody make a cake? In the beginning, I used to make cakes. You can tell which was the eggs, you can tell the butter, you can tell the sugar, you can tell the flour, the baking soda, you can tell all of that, the vanilla. But then when you blend it, then everything loses its originality. There's a blend, so you can't tell what it is. That's called the interweaving. That would become a friendship. Because if those ingredients don't get along, you're gonna have one messed up cake. So this is what friendship with the world is, it's interweaving. Everything just gets along. Amen. There's no clear distinction. Interweaving of two standards are the two souls into, that's friendship for the world. All right, go ahead. They said that kind of friendship is what with God? Enmity. Well, what is enmity? It's a mutual hatred or ill will with God. God doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. God wants us to be different. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to be what? Set apart. Sanctification is so important. Jesus said, Lord, sanctify them through thy truth. And thy word is? Sanctify them through what? Thy word. Through the truth. We can only be set apart for God through the what? Word of God. Not by the standards, impressions of the world. Our sanctification will only come through God. It says, enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the what? What did he say? If you will be a friend of the world, you're the what? So it's all about holiness. I want to be like Jesus. Lord, I strive every day to be more like him. Because when I let down my God of godliness and holiness, and I try to be like the world, then I become an enemy of God. Amen. We don't want to be God's enemy. And, well, let's go to this one. It says, be ye not what? With what? With the world. The believers of the church, our believers will be. So when I start, when my best friend is of the world, I spend most of my time with them. It says, be not unequally yoked. And what that really represents is this. When they used to use this a farm term, they would put oxen together. And the oxen would be used to help plow the land. Well, it said, don't put an ox that's going to be pulling one direction with an ox that's going to be pulling the other direction. Because when they're unequally yoked together, you don't make any progress. Because they are fighting against. So when you become unequally yoked, you always will fight one another. Because you're going in a different direction. So it says, don't be unequally yoked together with. I believe, I praise God. I don't believe in God, and don't talk about that around me. Okay, well, can we just go here together? No, they just said they don't believe in your God. So your friendship is with the world? Well, they're telling you they don't believe in your God, they don't want to have anything to do with your God, but you want to be with them anyway. Then the scripture says you have just become the enemy of God. Because you're not supposed to be yoked with unbelievers. That's in the natural, and a lot of times people want to get married. They say, you know what? I know we don't really think alike, but we really love each other. That love is only going to be short-lived. Because you can't be unequally yoked together. Either you're going to be hotly spiritual and pull them up, or they're going to just be themselves and pull you down. And the majority of the time it happens in the reverse. So it says, don't be unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. For what fellowship hath? With what? Well, that's my best friend. They were my best friend all my life. Are they righteous or unrighteous? Amen. Are they holy or are they unholy? It's all about God's standard of holiness. Amen. It's what God feels, what God knows supposed to be right. You know, I'm not saying you can't have associates, but what I'm saying is you can't spend forever with the associates. And if you are, listen, remember the letter to him? The person died and they said, how could you be my friend? And I wind up in hell. And you never told me there was a better way? What kind of friend are you? You're on your way to heaven, but you were so hypocritical not to tell me, not to live right, and I wind up in hell. And they wrote a letter to him from hell. And the letter from hell is, what kind of Christian are you? You were supposed to be my example. You were supposed to love me enough that I didn't wind up in this place of torment. And you never told me about being saved and doing the right thing. You saw me the time I was drunk and lying, and you laughed with me. You saw me the time I was dishonored and cheated, and you didn't try to direct me in the right way. What kind of friend are you?
Come on now.
Amen. It's all about living the life. Amen. And being an example unto others. It says, and what concord has Christ with? The blow means someone is just wicked. Someone is worthless. Someone is no good. Jesus says, don't cast your pearls before what? Don't cast your pearls before swine and give not that which is holy to the dogs. That there is no concord. Concord means what? Agreement. Amen. Christ will never be in agreement with the devil. I don't care what you do. I don't care how you rewrite. I don't care what the psychologists, I don't care what they say. There will never be agreement because God is always taking us up and the devil is always taking us down. You can never have an agreement because you're trying to go to heaven and the unsaved is trying to take you to hell. There cannot be an agreement. There's no middle ground. Amen. It's for Christ I live and for Christ I die. There's no middle ground. Because when you get in the middle, then you're lukewarm. And Jesus said, when you're lukewarm, I'll do what? I can't even keep you. I'll spew you out of my mouth. And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with what? God has no agreement with idols. For ye are the temple of who? Why? Because he is in us. We are the temple. Read it, I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. So we are the temple of God. Why? Because we have the Holy Ghost. We are a living temple. Amen. This building is all right, but I got something down inside of it. I got something the world didn't give to me. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell what?
In
them.
What?
Thank God when I got the Holy Ghost. Amen. No longer did I have to see it with my eyes.
Come on now.
But something began to move down inside of me. Amen. He was what? He was dwelling in my soul. He said, I will dwell and walk in them, and I will be. And they shall be, thank God, we as people. Wherefore, come out from, amen, we must be what? Sanctified. Sanctified means we must be different. We must be separate. Well, how can we are sanctified by the what? Truth. And thy word is truth. Well, I want to live sanctified. It's in the book. You want to be sanctified? Read it. Hear it. Live it. You can't be sanctified outside the word. Well, God, he said what he meant. If you're a friend of the world, then you become the... If you get caught in lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, the pride of life, then you are not of God. You're not of the Father, but you're of the world. Amen. He said, whatever come out from among them and be ye what? Be sanctified, saith the Lord. Touch not God does not want us dwelling with anything unclean. Remember it says concerning the way of holiness, the unclean cannot what? Can't come this way. If you haven't been washing your sins, if you haven't made an open confession of faith, uncleanness is, I got baptized in Jesus' name. He washed away all of my sins, praise the Lord. He gave me a new start, but then I start giving and dabbing in stuff that is not of God. That's unclean. Amen. Last week we went over things that are unclean. We went over what? Covetousness, envy, strife. Those things are considered what? Unclean. That's not of God. Amen. And if you read James, James talks about that. Those with envy, bitterness, strife, he said, you walk as men. That's not of God. I think, what's the next verse? I think we might wait to the next one. All right, we'll finish with 18. He said, I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons, and says who? Lord, I can't live worldly and be saved. I can't live worldly and please God. I can't live according to the standards of the world and think that God is going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. In order for God to tell me, well done, I must do those things that are pleasing and, listen, God says it plainly. If you want, you must do the things that are pleasing in whose sight? Well, you know, God doesn't expect, God expects us to do what he says. Amen. God expects us to do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Worldly standards, worldly ways, worldly talk, worldly dress, worldly look. Well, I don't want to look like a square. I want to look like God wants me to look. Amen. When my dress, when everything about me, you know, every time I talk, people say, wow, you remind me of somebody else. But they never say you remind them of Christ. Should that cause an alarm? When we're supposed to be an ambassador of Christ? Oh, you dress like, but it's not like a saved individual? Shouldn't that cause an alarm when we are an ambassador of Christ? You talk like, but it's never a Christian. Shouldn't that cause an alarm when we are an ambassador of who? Christ. Amen. Let us stand. The only way we ever get to heaven is we must. There's no other way. Amen. There's no other alternative. We must do the things that are pleasing in God's sight. Amen. Spiritual living, part two, we must cast down worldliness. Amen. We can no longer continue to be a blend of worldliness and godliness. Amen. Our lifestyle has to change. It must be all about Jesus. Amen.